Some of the things I want to talk about this morning I've had on my mind for a long time. So when Brian asked me to fill in this morning, what I want to talk about this morning is really what came to my mind first. But then I kind of flip-flopped back and forth. I started having doubts and started thinking, maybe I shouldn't talk about this. Maybe I don't want to talk about this. Maybe I don't know enough about this. So I flip-flopped back and forth. I changed the message numerous times. If you see me get my pen out, it's probably still not done. I'm probably still changing it. But it was some of the conversations that I had with some of the people here, after church and so forth, that finally decided me to, when I finally decided to go ahead and just do this. And so what I want to talk about this morning is just some stuff that I've had on my mind for a long time, and I think it's important, and I think it's important for us as a church. There's kind of a debate in Christian circles about the role emotions should play in our life. And sometimes I think emotions get a bad rap. I think out in the world, maybe they're given too much weight. People make too many decisions just purely based on emotion. I think sometimes in the church, they get kind of a bad rap, and maybe that we can't trust our emotions. Emotions are seen as just emotional outbursts of anger or tears or emotional breakdowns. But what I want to talk about this morning is that I think when we view emotions, they are they're more what it means to be a whole person. God created us body, soul, and spirit. And so because we have this felt part of us, we are created with emotions, and they're an important part of who we are when they're put in their proper place, when they're put in subjection to truth and to doctrine, to the Word of God. So when I talk about emotion this morning, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what it means to be a person, what it means to be a whole person with a spirit and a soul and a body. And I'm talking about that part of you that has that need for security. It has a need for encouragement, for hope, for love, for acceptance. And one author calls these your felt needs. So also, another name for emotion this morning, I might just say felt needs or your emotions. So some Christians think that when you come to faith in Christ, your emotions shouldn't play any part in that decision to trust Christ. They think it should be purely through reason, through logic, through hearing the message, and then logically thinking through it and trusting Christ. And some people are on the other end of the spectrum, and they think that emotion should play the major role in your decision to trust Christ, that it's your emotion, it's an emotional decision. But what I want to put forth this morning is that it's both. It's our reason, but it's also that these decisions are emotional, and it is a part of who we are. So I want to just put forth that it's both. Emotion and reason are the reasons that not only we come to faith in Christ, but then it's also that emotional part of us that will help sustain our faith in Christ. So so we need sound doctrine, and sound doctrine is where we're going to be spiritually healthy. The emotions of our spirit are going to be healthy. And they're arrived, the emotions in our spirit are arrived at through an intelligent understanding of the doctrine. Sorry. Through an intelligent understanding of a doctrine, and then letting that doctrine work in us when we believe it, and it effectually works in our lives. And the doctrine is important because the doctrine is what's true. If you take hope, for instance, we can't offer hope to people if we don't know what real hope is. And the world's view of hope basically is little more than wishful thinking. But our hope is sure because it's based on God's Word. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And substance here means assurance or surety. And our hope is sure because of the one, God, who's offering that hope. And then biblical faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. And biblical faith isn't just a blind leap in the dark. It's not just what we do when we can't explain something or just have faith if you can't see it. Faith and biblical faith is a three-step process. And it's basically understanding, It's understanding the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, which then leads to knowledge, which then should lead us to trust or faith. So it's that three-step process. It's not just a blind leap in the dark. It's understanding, which leads us to knowledge, which should lead us to trust, to lead us to faith. And it's this understanding, it's the knowledge that we get from sound teaching, from good teaching. And you know, I just want to say that Brian does an awesome job of teaching us. He does an awesome job of giving us the doctrine that we need. You know, he teaches us. He gives us that foundation that we need to build everything else on. But what I want to talk about this morning a little bit is then, what's our part in this? What is our part here at Grace Life Bible Church? And a while back, I think it was either last congregational meeting or maybe even the one before that, Brian put forth this slogan and he challenged us to be the body. So what I want to talk about this morning is, what does that mean? What does it mean to be the body? And then specifically, what should that look like here at Grace Life Bible Church? You know, what's your part in the body? What's my part in the body? What is our place in the body of Christ? And then also, And then also, should we expect those emotional needs, those felt needs, to be met by others in the body of Christ? Should that be something that we can justifiably expect should happen as a member of the body of Christ? And if so, how does that happen? How should it happen? And then also, I want to look at, what role does emotion play in sustaining our faith? So, I doubt we'll answer all those questions this morning. We might not answer any of them totally. But really what I want to do is just start a conversation about these kinds of things, about what it means to be a body. What role does our emotion play in the body of Christ? So, first of all, I just want to establish a couple of things. Like I said earlier, we're created in God's image with a spirit, a soul, dwelling in a body. You know, I think it's apparent to all of us, it's obvious to all of us that we're more than just a body. There's a me, there's a you that's dwelling inside this flesh. And we have three distinct parts. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So here the Bible tells us that we have a soul, we have a spirit, and then we have a physical body, the joints and the marrow there. And that we have this inner, this unseen part that has thoughts, it has intentions. It's where we make decisions. It's where we make decisions based on information that we take in. Look back at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. You know, it's obvious to us that we have a body and we have this inner part of us that we can't see, but really without the Word of God, we really wouldn't know. We couldn't make that distinction between the spirit and the soul. They are intertwined. They're linked together, but there's no way that we would really know that without God's Word. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 27. It says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." So I think what that verse is saying is it's our spirit that takes in this information, and in this case it's God's Word. It takes in God's Word, and it's where we analyze the information. It's where we use our reason, and we form ideas, we form concepts, and then we come to an understanding of this information, and it's how we communicate. It's how we communicate to others. It's how we understand each other. And that goes on in our spirit. That's a part of us that communicates not only with each other, but it's what allows us to communicate with God. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. First Corinthians 2:11 says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So again, it's this spiritual aspect of us that can take in information, that can understand language, that can understand ideas, that can understand concepts and things like that. But then also, we have a soul. Like I say, we wouldn't really be able to distinguish those two things and make that distinction if it wasn't for God's Word, if God's Word didn't tell us that. But I think it's our soul is where we live out that understanding. It's where we take in that information, and then our soul is through emotion, through things like that. That's where we display that understanding to the world, and sometimes it's even where we display that understanding to ourselves. Because I think, you know, even though emotions get a bad rap and they shouldn't be what guides our life, they can be a very good indicator of what you're thinking. They can be a very good indicator of what's going on, you know, in your spiritual life. That those emotions can be an indicator of good or bad things going on in your spirit. And the emotions, those would be what we'd call the emotions of the soul. And I think that those are what the world mainly sees. When the world looks at us, those are what is on display. It's what tells the world how we're feeling. It's how we think about things, our understanding of things. That's basically what is on display for the world. It's where we live every day. And like I say, these emotions are good indicators of our spiritual state. They're a good indicator of how we either understand or the lack of understanding of doctrine. And our spiritual state, what's going on in our mind, what's going on in our spirits, how we understand doctrine, is going to produce corresponding feelings or emotions in our soul. And it's mainly these emotions of our soul, these needs, these felt needs that we have, is mainly what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the emotion, the role that emotion plays in both coming to faith in Christ, but then mainly how those emotions help in sustaining our faith. And by sustain our faith, I don't mean, obviously, you know, that somehow we maintain our salvation or anything like that. We're secure. But what I mean is the maintenance of our life in the body of Christ and the role that these felt needs have by, you know, being met by each other, and that having these felt needs met will to a large degree determine our excitement for and our vibrancy and our participation in the body of Christ. And when I talk about the body this morning, I'm specifically talking about Grace Life Bible Church. This is our part of the body of Christ here. We are the body of Christ here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So far, you know, we've talked about that we're created in three distinct parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. That each of these parts has a specific purpose. Our soul and our spirit are linked, and that our spiritual state will directly affect our soul and the emotions of our soul. And that emotions are an important part of who you are as a person. And that your spiritual state, based on sound doctrine, will determine in large part your emotional state. So, first of all, I just want to talk about what role do emotions play in our coming to faith in Christ. And then I want to talk about what role do they play in sustaining that faith. So I remember emotion played a huge role in my decision to trust Christ. And Paul spends over two chapters in the book of Romans talking about wrath before he finally says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Then he goes on to explain what that gospel is. But first he talks for 2.5 chapters about wrath, and I think that's meant to bring some kind of emotion out, you know, bring an emotional response out. So, like I said, emotion definitely played a role in my trusting Christ. A little while ago, I was up at my mom's house, and I found an old cookbook. And I think it was from about 1970. And the pastor's name, his name was in the cookbook, was William Jackson. And the reason this is significant for me is it's because during a sermon that he was preaching, and he was only there for 2 or 3 years, but it was during a sermon that he was preaching that I trusted Christ for my salvation. So, seeing the cookbook was from about 1970, he was only there for 2 or 3 years, I was only like 9 or 10 years old. But I remember clearly sitting in the front pew of our little Wesleyan church, and I have no idea why me, I was sitting in the front pew, I have no idea, but I remember that he was preaching on the cross. And I remember very vividly that he was giving a description of Jesus hanging on the cross for my sins. I remember his words. He said, "The only way to go to heaven is by trusting what Jesus did on the cross for you." And I can still see that image that, you know, in my little mind there, I could see just a total black background, and I could just see this cross there with Christ on it, his arms outstretched, he was bleeding, you know, the crown of thorns on his head, and he was dying for my sins. And I can still remember the emotion that stirred in me, that, you know, it brought me to the response, yes, I trust you for my salvation. I trust you as the only way to go to heaven. And I understand you have to understand the message. Our gospel has to be plain. But it's emotion that's often going to move that person and stir that person to make a decision. And the message of the cross does stir emotion. And that's one of the reasons that we have to be so careful, so precise with the message that we share. We have to be precise with the gospel that Christ died as a sacrifice for your sin, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, and that's it. That's the gospel. Because if emotion leads a person to trust in something that's not the gospel, it could be devastating in their lives and it could be very hard to undo because these decisions are made emotionally. They're emotional decisions. And it's the emotional needs of lostness and fear and the need for ultimate security that the message of the cross both stirs in us, but then that message of the cross is what satisfies those emotions. It's what satisfies those felt needs in us. It's that ultimate security, that ultimate salvation that we find in the message of the cross that ultimately satisfies those needs. So, and I've covered quite a bit already. Does anyone have any questions, comments, anything like that? I know we don't usually do this on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, but if anybody has any questions, comments, anything like that you don't understand or need clarification on this morning? Sure, Ronnie. Thank you. It's going a lot faster than it did in the basement. So, okay, we talked a little bit about then what role does emotion play in coming to faith in Christ. So now I just want to talk a little bit about then what role does emotions, those felt needs, play in then sustaining that faith. I think that, you know, emotion, like I said, does play a part in a person coming to Christ, and I think that the desire for those needs to be met is a legitimate reason to place your faith in Christ. But I also think that it's legitimate to expect, to be able to expect, that these emotional, these felt needs would be met when we become a part of the body of Christ. That we should be able to expect these emotional needs, these felt needs, to be met, that we would meet them, you know, help meet them for each other. And I think that, you know, it's those, the meeting of those emotional needs is going to play a huge part in the sustaining of our Christian lives. It's going to be what's going to help keep us going. It's going to be what's going to help keep us actively involved in the body. And I think to the degree that our felt needs are met by the body will be the degree to which we feel committed to and part of that body. And I think the degree to which we feel that our needs are being met and our emotional needs are being met are going to help determine our participation and our vibrancy and our excitement about being a part of the body of Christ, and specifically about our part and how what we play in Grace Life Bible Church. So the meeting of our emotional needs, I think, plays a role in sustaining our faith by making the gospel. It makes the doctrine that we believe real in our lives. It's where we live it out. It's as the saying goes, this is where the rubber meets the road. It's where the ideas, the concepts, the doctrines of our faith become real and where they're translated into the lives that we live. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And this word conversation here means manner of life or lifestyle. And I think conversation is a very descriptive way to describe it, because it's where we take, it's conversation, it's communication. It's where we take our understanding of what our heavenly lifestyle should be like. It's our understanding of that heavenly position that we have. And it's where we communicate it to the world around us. It's where we communicate it to each other. It's a conversation between our understanding of our heavenly position, and it's how we communicate it to the world. It's a conversation through our lifestyle of who we're supposed to be in Christ. And I think it's where what we believe becomes who we are. It's where we are the body to each other. This is where we each find our own place in the body. We each have our own particular purpose. We each do have a place and a purpose in the body of Christ. We each have a place and a purpose and an important purpose here at Grace Life Bible Church. And I think because we all have a place and we all have a purpose in meeting the needs of other parts of our body, that is why each one of us individually is important. Because I play a role in helping to meet your needs, your emotional needs, your spiritual needs, you know, the struggles and trials that you have in life. I talked to a couple of people, I mentioned this earlier, too, that when I feel the most like quitting, when I feel the most like giving up, when I feel the most like this is all just too hard, it's too much, it's when I feel isolated. It's when I feel isolated from the rest of the body. You know, I work second shift. I'm not around other believers hardly ever. You know, I talk to Ernie for, you know, if I don't go to work right away, you know, 10, 15 minutes before I go to work, but you know, it's a long week. And I really look forward lately to these prayer breakfasts that we have before the board meetings. It's great to get to know these people, to get to know the other men. You know, and we're still finding our way, and sometimes it doesn't really seem like we're accomplishing a whole lot, but you know what? We're getting to know each other, and we're developing a sense of what it means to be a part of one another. And I think we're learning, and I hope we keep progressing in sharing our hearts and in sharing these felt needs. And I know that's, you know, men do have them too. You know, we have emotions, we have these felt needs. And I think, you know, the more we meet together and just get to know each other, that's what it means to be the body, where you can be open, that you can share your heart, that you can share these needs with other people, and other members of the body can help you get through them. So yeah, I really do. I look forward to these, to the meetings. And here I have to apologize a little bit, because, you know, I love Grace Life Bible Church. And I don't mean, you know, the big corporate idea, Grace Life Bible Church, but the individuals. I love the people here. And I'm not always good at, I've never been good at just small talk and just getting out and just talking to people and, you know, getting to know people and stuff like that. I've often said my heart doesn't translate very well into English. But, you know, I love you people. And there's hardly a day that goes by, there's hardly an hour that goes by that I don't think about Grace Life Bible Church, that I don't think about you people, that I'm not praying for you. And, you know, that's not an excuse that I'm not good at it. You know, you can get good at it. You can develop it. You can do things to get better at it. And I know, I realize that if I'm going to stand up here and talk about what it means to be the body and what it means to help meet the needs of others, I got to start with me. So that's where, you know, this is going to be a long road. It might be hard for some of us, but this is what we need to do to be the body of Christ. We need to look at ourselves. We need to not make excuses, and we need to be who we're supposed to be in Christ. And over the last couple of weeks here at church, this seems kind of insignificant to some people probably, because you know there are lots of people who are very good at this. It just comes natural to be open with people, to you know, just to be caring and loving, and you know, and I think of Pam. How can you not think she's giving you hugs before she gets through the door and stuff. I'm not good at that, but you know, I've tried to take the time the last few weeks just to stay after church, talk to people, get to know you, and you know what, I like it. Nobody's hit me, you know, no one's yelled at me or anything, you know. And I really look forward to that, and more and more lately, and since I've been thinking about this stuff, it's just been becoming kind of my passion for this to be more than Sunday mornings, that we would begin to, as a body, come to be more and more what God intends that body to be. You know, I'm very blessed. I have a believing wife. You know, we talk about spiritual things, probably not as much as we really should. But you know, sometimes way out there in Robinson Township, you know, we feel like, you know, two toes of the body cut off, and you know, clear out there in the middle of nowhere. And it's important to develop these relationships here with the rest of the body. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It's a passage that I read for scripture reading. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. In verses 4 and 5, Paul calls us one body and members one of another. And in verse 1, he says, our reasonable service, a life that makes sense based on who we are, is one of voluntary sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And it's a life lived with purpose, where certain choices will be made at the expense of other choices. It's where we make choices based on God's Word and who we are in Christ. And where we'll offer our time and our talents and our emotional strengths, our compassion, our care, we'll be offering those things, a living sacrifice to God through offering ourselves to His body. And it's where we represent Christ. We're His ambassadors. We are parts of His body. It's where Christ becomes flesh and blood, where He becomes the hugs and the touch of Christ is us. We are the body of Christ. If you send somebody to Christ today, here on earth, you send them to the body, to us. We are that flesh and blood. We are that touch of Christ. We're His representatives today. But as the passage says, this is possible only through the transforming power of God's Word in our minds and then living it out by finding our place in the body. Look over at verse 9, same chapter, verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Drop down to verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I think here Paul's illustrating, you know, what is this going to look like in the church? What is this going to look like as we live it out in our lives? In verse 9, he says, "Let your love be without dissimulation." He says, "Be sincere." In verse 10, he says, "Be kindly affectioned." And according to Strong's, this phrase, "kindly affectioned," means especially cherishing one's kindred, one's kin, fond of natural relatives. Verses 13 through 16 says that we're to care for each other. We're to share in each other's joys, share in each other's sorrows. And he's saying we're to cherish each other like family, like members, one of another. It's like we're all part of one body, but we each have an individual part to play in that body. And we each need to find our place in that body. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12. I'm going to read kind of a long passage of Scripture here. I couldn't find a good place to break it off, so I'm just going to read verses 12 through 26. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because of it, I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem the more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it." So again, we see the oneness of the body that Paul's talking about here. And in verses 23 and 24, we see that God bestows honor on what the world would call less honorable. But God says, in God's standards, you're all important. You all have a place in the body. He bestows more honor on maybe some parts of the body or some people that the world would think would be less honorable. So I think the important thing to realize is that you're important, and that you're important here, and that our view of church shouldn't so much be one of "I come here to hear a sermon and to be fed." I mean, that's why we come. Don't get me wrong. We come here to get our doctrine. We come here to get doctrine, get our spirits built up. But that's not all. There's more to it than that. There's a place here for you. You come here for a reason, because you're important here. You're important to other members of the body of Christ. One last passage. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Paul's saying here that the work in the local church, what we're to be accomplishing, is we accomplish it by love, but that love is according to knowledge. It's according to truth. It's according to the Word of God. And it's by discerning the things that are most excellent, the most excellent choices in the situations of life, when we make choices of what to do with our time, what to do with our resources, you know, what to do, like I say, with our free time and things like that. And he says, by being sincere, we need to have the right motives, and we need to live out of a life of righteousness by doing the right thing. You know, having a character counts, and living that life of righteousness. And then look down at verse 27. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And here we have that word conversation again, that lifestyle, that manner of life. It says, let your conversation, your lifestyle, be one that is becoming of the gospel, one that adorns, one that makes the gospel attractive to people. And that we would be striving together as a body, that our conversation, that we would translate our understanding into action, and the spiritual would become physical, and that our ideas would become action, and that the doctrine would become emotion, lived out with each other and before the world. Look down at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I just read these long passages of Scripture because Paul says things a whole lot better than I do. But these things are in my heart, that this is the what God means for us to be the body. And as we look to Christ, He is our example. You know, we're to have His mind concerning these things, concerning others. Verses 3 and 4 says we're to esteem others better than ourselves. We're to look out for every man on his things, you know, more than our own. And this is what it means to be the body. This is what it means to look out for each other, to care for each other. Like I say, getting to know each other, getting to know each other's struggles and our trials and our temptations. And that we can meet these trials and these struggles together as a body. And that's why the term, the word that God uses for us, a body, is so descriptive. Because we do. We take care of each other. We take care of different parts of our body. And almost done. And like I said before, you know, some of you guys are already really good at this. I was on Facebook last week, and it was it was just, it made me so happy to see some of the members here that were over at Janet's house for a Bible study. You know, and they're over there. That's what it means to be the body, to get together, to support each other. And some of you are good at this. It comes natural almost. But, you know, for others, like I said, it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some honesty, some openness, some true caring, some true love for each other. And one of the things that I've been thinking about lately, and I know it'll take time. It'll take some time to get these things going. But I would love to see a small group ministry here where we could get together with, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in small groups, you know, in different areas around. Because we're so scattered all over the place that it's hard for us to get together sometimes, you know. And I think if we could develop a small group ministry where we could get to know each other, where we could get to know our trials, our struggles, our temptations, things like that, and then work through those things and help each other and be there for each other. It's kind of something that I know it's not going to happen overnight, but hopefully something that we can begin a conversation about, that we can begin talking about. And, you know, I value all of your input and your ideas about things like that and your experience. But, I just think it's so important because there are spiritually mature believers here that could be an encouragement and a help to the less mature, that the strong could be an encouragement and a help to the weaker. When people come through the doors at Grace Life Bible Church, do they sense an atmosphere of openness? Do they sense an atmosphere of caring? Do they sense an atmosphere that we're a body that cares for each other? And I'm just hoping that today, that this morning, that we can start, and that, you know, this can just be an ongoing conversation, an ongoing ministry, and that we can maybe begin a new dimension of Grace Life Bible Church this morning. So, have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this church. I thank you that in your design, you designed the local church to be your body, that it would be a place of safety, that it would be a place of comfort, that it would be a place where we can meet you through other members of that body, and that you would meet these what we call felt needs, these emotional needs. I pray that you would help each one of us to have a passion for Grace Life Bible Church and for the members here. I just thank you so much for your word, where we can come and learn and understand these things. And I thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was willing to leave heaven, go to a cross and die for us, and that simply by trusting in that, we can have eternal life. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.